Hello, my name is Nicole, and thank you so much for taking this time out to listen. Today, I am talking about trusting in God and not in titles. In the past, I have mentioned some things on various audio about how we will esteem parents, we will esteem grandparents, we will even respect bosses, and even no good enemies before at times we will even think to trust in God, to focus our attention on God and the things affiliated with Him. It's so strange how we live in a time where people will listen to the court jesters, the comedians, if you will, the entertainers, despite them not knowing various things, they don't have a track record for being very knowledgeable on different subject matter. But if they say one sentence, one word, or if they're connected to a certain person or group, all ears and all eyes are on them. But I'm here to tell you today that our focus and our trust should be on our Maker. We cannot get to Him, though, unless we accept Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior. I know some folks struggle with that because of spiritual abuse, because of people putting all sorts of toxic programming in various groups and religions and so forth. So it's hard to even think about a God that cares about you, that loves you, and that He has a Son that if you call on His name, you will get some type of relationship or favor or what have you. It's hard for some people to wrap their head around that, and I understand. But I challenge some of you all to do that today. Because see, you could try a piece of chocolate, right? And you could try a meal, and you could go and try a different route to get from point A to point B. I'm just asking you to try Jesus today. I'm asking you to not focus on religion in a sense of sitting down in a church pew and listening to a man or woman give you the word of God. But I'm saying having that personal relationship behind closed doors when no one is looking, when you can't get any type of certificate or award for anything, and just try Jesus. You know, accept Him as your personal Lord and Savior, since no one else seems to care, right? No one else seems to be there for you. You've trusted in a husband. You've trusted in a wife. You've trusted in a girlfriend and a boyfriend. You relied on parents to see you through. But then what happened? Over time, people start changing. People stop caring. People start focusing on everything but you and your situation or situations, you know, so you have no choice but to trust in Jesus. And if you don't want to do that, then you could trust in yourself. But didn't you already do that and it didn't really work, right? Some of you all may have tried to get a number of things accomplished, and to a certain extent, things worked out. But then, lo and behold, if the disappointments didn't show up again, okay, the pain, the upset, you get tired after a while. You get tired of trying to do things in your own strength or relying on other people. You see, that's why long ago I learned that you've got to look beyond people. You just have to. If you want to be free, if you want to have that peace that surpasses all understanding, if you want to have that joy when everybody else is crying, you got to look at the spiritual side of things. You know, you have to tap into another dimension, Lord Jesus, of who you are and where you want to go and what you want to do that goes beyond the natural. Because if you can't do that, then yeah, you end up being just like the rest of them, flipping out when you really didn't have to flip out, blaming everyone, having some unforgiveness, having some resentment. You see, my head is in the word of the Lord. My focus is in the things of God. I know that my time on this planet is short-lived. I don't have time to be focused on people in the sense of, every little thing that goes on with them. Now, I care about people, yes, and I share this information because I want to see people free, but I can't be so focused on them like one would focus on a god, if you will. You see what I mean? Some folks worship idols. They worship their entertainers, their athletes, their moms, their dads, their children. You know, it's always, you know, something about children and, you know, things they watched on television, and I gotta buy this and I gotta do that because so-and-so told me, but you know, you don't have enough money, or maybe that's the wrong advice, but yet they continue to do this anyway. You see, some folks even dress like their, idols. They talk like their idols. You know, that's when you know a person is sold out on people. They're just sold out on everything concerning folks. And then they also find that when those people let them down, they end up going into depressions. They end up needing alcohol, drugs, you know, anything to help them. You know, let me go out here. Let me smoke a cigarette. Let me go out here. Let me hang out with my friends. Let me get my drink on. I can't take it. You know, it's just too much, you see. So their spiritual side is starving because there was never anything to cause them to be strong during times of weakness. Their focus was so centered on everyone and everything that they even gave a part of themselves toward the gods that they serve, towards the things that they love so much, you see. And when you do that, you systematically break yourself down mentally, physically, and spiritually. And then folks around you say, what happened? So-and-so had this particular breakdown, this situation happened, and I don't really know. I don't understand. I mean, one minute she was fine, the next minute she lost it. I don't know. I mean, he was doing well, and then now he is just staying up all hours of the night, and you know, he's going out in the street doing any number of things. He's stuffing his face with everything he can get his hands on to calm his nerves. I just don't know, you see, because these are individuals who have themselves wrapped up into so many things that don't satisfy them. They're wrapped into so many people that don't give them the peace that they want. But can I tell you that if you don't nourish your spiritual side, if you don't trust in the one true God, then at times you are going to feel like you're empty and that there's nothing and no one who can be able to fill that void. That's how I came to understand some things about the spiritual side back when I did walk around with a void. I remember even feeling it deeply back in 1993, walking the campus over at Duquesne University. And for that moment, I felt so alone. I felt so sad. I felt so depressed, even like I didn't even want to walk anymore. I didn't even want to do anything. That day I was hungry, but then I started feeling like my appetite was going away. I was just in such a place that there was nothing anyone could say or do to help me. And God himself was even speaking to me, but I was not ready to go all the way. I mean, he used somebody that looked like, I kid you not, that looked like white Jesus. Okay, even God got a sense of humor. Okay, I mean, this individual showed up and was talking to me and telling me, you know, that God had a plan for my life and he wanted to do some things to help me. And if only I would just start trusting it in him. And he said, you know, come, you know, you don't have to participate in a Bible study. Just come. We talk about, you know, righteous things and all of that. And this man was bewildered because he could see that there was something around me that needed to be connected to the people of God. And so there were times where he was looking at me with this look like, what's wrong? I mean, there's something going on with you. And yet you still don't want to, you know, at least fellowship with some folks, at least be around some positive people. And he wasn't a pushy man, you know, initially. Over time, he did become pushy. But it was just something that I felt like I could get through. You see, oh, I, this emptiness, whatever, you know, I'll get through it. I got a boyfriend, you know, I'm going to a very good university. You know, I've got all of these accolades behind me. I'm doing well. And the truth of the matter was that all of those things eventually, they ended up being pulled away. I didn't continue going to Duquesne, ended up going to another university. The boyfriend, that relationship eventually ended. The accolades and so forth for a time stopped. When I started up in a new university, once again, I was not known. I had to start from the bottom again. So, you know, it's something. It is definitely something to get to a place where you just don't know what to do. Things are just slowly but surely declining. So let us go into the word of the Lord after giving you quite a bit of background on me, as far as, you know, that void that I know some of you all have experienced, and some of you all may be back in that place again. For any number of reasons, somebody could have recently died and you had a whole lot of stock in that person. Okay. You may have trusted in a husband or a wife and now they're talking about they want to divorce you. You may have spent a lot of time with parents and grandparents and other folks, and now, you know, they're acting strange and you don't really like them very much or what have you. Whatever your situation is, there is that loneliness, there is the upset, there is the bitterness, and things that will take roots if you don't have a healthy alternative. My suggestion is to uplift your spiritual side. You know, the physical side, you take care of that when you eat, when you drink, when you make love to a partner or what have you, when you go to a place that you haven't been to before, or you get out the house a bit. Okay. The mental side, you do things like watch television, you read, you play video games or what have you, okay, to uplift your spirits. Well, I'm saying let's tap into the spiritual side. And by doing that, all the rest will fall into play, but you won't put so much time and energy and commitment and everything else into things that will eventually go away, die, break, rust, you name it, you see. So it's just redirecting your focus so that you're not so enamored, so wrapped up in, so smitten by and all of that to the point where you're blind. And then lo and behold, the enemy loves folks that are blind, because then wham, you get hit with all sorts of crazy news. You find out some things, and then the next thing you know, you can't stand. You can't stand. You ready to pass out? Are you ready to commit suicide? Are you ready to, you know, throw the towel in on a great opportunity because you can't stand the pressure? You can't stand the challenge because you put too much of your faith and your stock and everything else into things that change. You know, they go up and down like the stock market. Okay. I'm sorry, but I'm not putting my faith in people, places, and things that go up and down like the stock market. Okay. So I'm centering my life in Him. I'm trusting in Him. I'm trusting in the Almighty God, but I've got to accept Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior based on what the criteria is in the Bible. Okay. There's always prerequisites to things. And when it comes to the spiritual things, there are always some things that you either have to do or say in order to activate certain things, okay, in the spiritual realm. So you want to activate God, accept Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, okay? Isaiah chapter 41, verse 11 through 13. Behold, all those who were incensed against you. Okay, so you're in a place where folks don't really like you, or they have issues with you, or maybe you're by yourself and folks aren't really, you know, your cup of tea these days. You don't really like them much. Okay, behold, all those who were incensed against you shall be ashamed and disgraced. They shall be as nothing. See, this is a benefit of walking with the Lord, because He's going to take care of your enemies. All right, they shall be as nothing, and those who strive with you shall perish. Shall perish. Okay. You shall seek them and not find them. Those who contended with you, right? They fought with you, whether to your face or behind your back. Those who war against you shall be as nothing, as a non-existent thing. For I, the Lord your God, will hold your right hand, saying to you, fear not, I will help you. Okay. These are incentives now to walking with the Lord. We're going deep today in the scriptures. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, richly, right? In all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. In psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace, that's unmerited favor, in your hearts to the Lord. You didn't do anything to get favor with the Lord. Nothing special, okay? Sure, you accepted Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, but, you know, He didn't have to call on you. He didn't have to move on me to do anything. He didn't have to move on anyone around you to do anything special. But yet folks feel compelled to help you. They feel moved to share a word with you, you see, and you didn't have to do anything but maybe click on a button or something, or maybe just sit there. You know, that's just the beauty of the Lord. He's not like a man that says, okay, you got to do step one, step two, step three. Then after you do all of these things, then you got to do step four, five, and six, and seven, and eight, and nine, and 10 in order to get your certificate. And oh, wait a minute, you also got an extra fee. You see, this is the world we live in. It's always somebody looking for something all the time, you know. So as a believer, you know, you want to be able to just sometimes sit back and just relax and just know that I don't have to do anything. I'm just resting in the presence of the Lord. I'm just grateful to be alive. You know, I don't have to sit up there and you know, just do all of these things just to get Him to see me. You see, He sees you. He sees you. Now, are there going to be instructions that He gives you along the way to keep you safe, to, you know, motivate you, to increase you and all that? Of course, you know, but it's just so nice to be able to be at peace knowing that I don't have to take my head and bang it up against the wall, you know, trying to figure out, okay, now what else can I do to, you know, get favor with the Lord, and get His attention, you know? I mean, some of you all, you know how that feels when you're, you know, in a bad relationship with someone, or you don't have a good relationship with parents. You know, it's the constant, now what can I do? What can I do? What can I say? No, it's not like that with the Lord. And I thank Him. I thank Him for, you know, a lifestyle where I don't feel that type of pressure. There's a lot of folks who they're in churches right now and they feel all sorts of pressure. And that's why I call folks out of the church. If it's like that, you don't need to be in it. If you're stressed every single day and you just can't seem to get along with anyone and everybody's putting all sorts of, you know, precepts upon you that have nothing to do with scripture, I have to ask, why are you going to that church? You see, people just put too much on themselves. If God is setting you out, setting you apart, and setting you aside, you need to say, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, I'm free. You see, he said, do not be yoked again with bondage. You see, and some people, they're bound. They're bound by their parents. They're bound by their job. They're bound by their church, all because they were promised something or somebody put a guilt trip on them and all that. Oh, no. Well, I'm skipping around. I'm dancing around. I'm putting my hands up. I'm happy. Thank you, Jesus. I don't have that to worry about. There's too many other things to be concerned about in this world. And so when you find that it's just too much, let it go and let God, you see. All right. Romans chapter 8, verses 1 and 2. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh. Okay. No one's condemning you. Now, there are some there are some churches that will. There are some people in your family that will, especially those self-righteous types. But anyway, but according to the Spirit, let us read that again. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. You see, that is another benefit to accepting Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. You're free from the law of sin and death. Psalm 34 and 4, I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. A lot of times the reason why people center themselves on their parents and their grandparents and their boyfriends and husbands and wives and sisters and aunties and everybody else is because they fear something. You see, if I fear that I'm going to lose my home, then I guess I got to tolerate and rely on and deal with and be used and abused, right? If I rely or trust in something, then I'm always hoping and praying that it doesn't break. You see, that's some stress, baby. It's some stress. Okay. And some of you all, there are certain things that you got to get rid of because you're relying on them far too much. And then there are some people that are toxic that you're relying on. And that's why you cannot move spiritually. Your spirit is saying, let's do this. Let's do this. Let's get out here. Let's do great things. Let's, you know, build up this. Let's, you know, but you can't because there is someone that you're attached to that's toxic, that's got you bound. You see, I recognize that, you know, in so many different ways, even in my own life. And so what I do is, when it's circumstances beyond my control, I press in anyway. You see, yes, is there going to be opposition? Am I, you know, sometimes causing a ruckus? Absolutely. But you're not going to take my God from me, you see, because my God's been there when nobody else was. And my God continues to be in, you know, my life when no one else is. So that is why I say that even when you're in circumstances beyond your control, you press in anyway. You continue to trust God and listen to him and obey his instruction. And people around you are going to say things, right, that if it goes against what their agenda is, they're going to say, God's not with you. God didn't tell you that. God, please, God wouldn't tell you to do this, that, and the other, right? But if it goes along with their programming, their agenda, their personal interests, and so forth, then they'll say, oh, yeah, God's with her, you see. But there comes a point in this walk where at some point folks around you are going to be uncomfortable, uncomfortable with the things you say, uncomfortable with the things you do. That is not our issue. There will even be those who will say, well, you are disrespecting me or you're dishonoring me because you're supposed to, excuse me, but I serve the Lord, not you, you see. And so those that have problems with that and they know that they cannot control you and they can't place their power over you, they don't want too much to do with you. Because you see, if I allow you to place your power over me and I allow you to control me, then I'm putting you in a God-like status in my life. And those of you all who have read your words, you know that God is a jealous God. And that's why other folks that you might know of that come to mind are struggling, because they are putting their wives, husbands, sisters, daughters, you know, brothers and everybody else before the Lord. Their wishes come before God's wishes. God says, don't call this one. They say, no, but I'm going to do it anyway. God says, don't go over here. But they say, well, that's my brother, that's my sister, my aunt, whoever, my mother, I'm going to do it anyway. And then you end up subjecting yourself to all sorts of things, because see, God knows what's around the corner. God knows what booby trap is being set. God knows that the next time so-and-so calls me, or the next time so-and-so comes around, I'm going to say this, that, and the other. So what God says is, I am not an author of confusion. I'm an author of peace. That is in his word. So he is not going to put you in a situation where it's going to be nothing more than a volcano erupting. Irregardless of who that person is in your life, whatever title they hold, you see. But some folks, you can't keep their feet still. Their feet is too busy walking. We call those folks busybodies. Or they're constantly picking up the phone, wanting to know what's going on with this one and that one. Those are busybodies. And then they also tend to be gossips and liars, because they don't necessarily tell the story the way you told the story. They don't necessarily do what they're supposed to do. And they claim that they're going to be there for you and help you out. And then you find out that their help is minimal. There's conditions. Sometimes they're just talking just to be talking. They have no intention of helping you. Okay. What comes to mind is a time in my life where I was, very much in need of help. I had two little ones, very little, both in diapers, and they were crying and working my nerves, just to be honest. Okay. And I was also in the process of looking for a job. Someone told me that I've been talking to on the phone that I will be there to help you out. Don't you worry about it. The day came that I had a job interview. The individual did not help me. Okay. If anything, when I called to find out where the person was, the phone just rang and rang and rang. So me being determined to get my job, what I did was I dressed those children. I carried a double stroller, and any one of you who have ever carried a double stroller, you know that they are quite heavy. I had to carry it down the stairs, put the two babies in it, rush off to the bus stop, only to have to close up that stroller, watch the two children to make sure they didn't run away or run in front of the bus while there were people on the bus that were looking on, okay? Finally, somebody got up and helped me out, all right? So now I'm riding on the bus, but I miss one of my bus stops, okay? And before long, I got tears in my eyes. My kids are hungry. They're whining. And I misjudged the distance. And then all the while, I'm thinking, where am I going to put the children for this job interview? Okay? That's how determined I was. Now, the person who was supposed to be there, who was supposed to help me out, basically stalled efforts, okay? That was a power, I found out later, was a power and control move. You see what I mean? So this is why I say all of this esteeming folks and putting them on pedestals, and, you know, if they've come through, so be it. If they don't come through, we cannot continue to put so much faith in them, you see, when we know that there's a God that we can trust in. And we know that this God wants us to center our lives around him and not around men and women. Okay. But that's just an example of many of how people fail, you know, and they're not always there for you, you see. But God allowed me to go through that to remind me, this is why I want you to trust in me. You cannot believe everything that people tell you. This is why I want you to pray before you go out. You see, hard lesson. Had I spent more time praying and centering myself in him that day,
then I wouldn't have been caught up in the situation that I had been caught up in. But you see, sometimes selfish desires will push you when God wants you to wait and wait on Him. So Titus chapter 2, verse 12 and 13, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. In Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith. You see, personal belief in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Psalm 5, verse 3, my voice you shall hear in the morning. Morning is always a good time to start your praying. My voice you shall hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning I will direct it to you, and I will look up. All right, so we got through the scriptures dealing with focusing on the one true God. That's what we have to do, saints. If we don't do it, then guess what? We're going to start relying on man again, relying on woman. When they have proven that they have lied to you, that they're unreliable, that they don't have your best interests in mind, that they're holding a lot of grudges, that they're unforgiving, you have watched how they've interacted with others, and maybe they haven't blew up on you yet, but usually people who have a long history of blowing up on others usually have fallen out, okay, with those closest to them. It's a given. So when you see all of these things, this is the writing on the wall. These are the fruits, too, that the Lord tells us to pay attention to. And when you see all of these things, you do not trust in people like this. You do not abandon what God has told you to go follow after them. But I'm your, and you can fill in the blank. Okay, they'll say that sort of thing to you. It doesn't matter who you are to me, the butcher, the baker, the candlestick maker, the boss. I don't care. I trust in God. And God did not tell me to get involved with this, that, and the other. Or God did not tell me that I should be going here, there, and everywhere. Or I received no signs, no visions, no wonders, no phone calls, no reports, no anything for me to feel comfortable in making a move. And if that person, whether you're dating them or whether they raised you, if that person continues to put pressure, you know that there's something else going on with them. Sometimes people got mental illnesses. They're so obsessed and so focused on people to the point where, you know, you know that something's wrong. And when that happens, we've got to put them in God's hands. And then if they want to start doing some bizarre things, we got to get the police involved. Okay. So I hope that you have been enlightened, encouraged, edified, all that good stuff. And that you will just trust in the Lord and lean not on your own understanding, whatever the situation is, whoever you're connected to, start breaking down all of those, things that you use to esteem folks, you know, whether you're buying them a bunch of gifts or you're constantly coming around them or you're ringing their phone or you're just doing the types of things that make them feel like they're more important, you know, than God. Because I'm telling you, God is not happy when people do this sort of thing. He's not. And it isn't any wonder why some people get in a lot of trouble, more specifically Christians get into trouble messing around, you know, promoting a bunch of folks that don't deserve and should not be put in any type of godlike status. And that includes me. So that's why I say to God be the glory. And I thank you so much for listening.